Most of you have probably heard of, or maybe you've seen footage of what's become known as the marshmallow test. It all started back in 1960 when a professor at the University of Stanford brought together, along with his graduate students, they kind of did this research, and they brought in a bunch of children, a bunch of preschoolers, and they gave them a choice between a small little reward that they could enjoy immediately, like a single marshmallow, or a better reward, like two marshmallows, major big difference there, two marshmallows, where that they could get if they waited for at times up to like 20 minutes all by themselves. And as you might imagine, the footage of this is really kind of entertaining. It's kind of humorous. And most of it's kind of knockoff because this test has been done over and over. It's kind of like this up here. So you see these little kids in the footage where they do all, they squirm, and some of them will smell the marshmallows, and they twist, and they just do all kinds of goofy, funny things. And some of them eat the marshmallow immediately. Some of them actually demonstrate delayed gratification in the deal, but it's quite a chore for some of them getting there. Way to go, man. Way to go. He resisted. That's cool. What really made this study extra fascinating, though, was that years later they came back and they followed up on this research that they had done, and they found that the kids, the children years earlier, and this was back in their teens and even beyond their teens when they did the follow-up, they discovered that the kids who had demonstrated delayed gratification, they tended to do better in all kinds of different areas of life than those who didn't. They just seemed, those kids, and as they grew up, they seemed to have an understanding that if they would say no to certain things, even good things, that they would later experience something even better in their life. And another thing that they discovered as they did ongoing studies related to this test was that one of the key components for kids demonstrating delayed gratification was them having a high level of confidence in the person, or a high level of trust in the person who is actually going to reward them with the prize, the marshmallows in this case. If they had high confidence in that individual that if they waited, they would actually get the reward, they were more likely to demonstrate delayed gratification. Now, I bring all that up because when it comes to the lure of temptation, what it's really all about is just that. It's all about delayed gratification. It's all about saying no to the lure of temptation in order to be able to experience something better later in our lives. Now, let me just give you where we're going. Let me just tell you where we're going right up front. So this is where we're going to be going the next four weeks. I want to give you two observations about temptation. You can jot these down in your outline if you want to. The first observation about temptation is that when it comes to temptation, there's always more at stake than we realize or think in the moment. When it comes to temptation, no matter how small or how big the temptation is that we're facing, there is always more at stake than we realize or think in the moment. Now, I realize you may not think so, and you know, that's okay. We're just getting started. But if you ponder it, I mean, when we're in the midst of a temptation, what we usually think is that all that's at stake is the marshmallow. All that's at stake is, do we include everything we're supposed to on the form? All that's at stake is whether we tell the truth or not. All that's at stake is whether we go in or not. You know, it's just a few dollars. And what we do is we fool ourselves and we deceive ourselves into thinking that there's just not that much at stake. We convince ourselves that all that is at stake in this temptation is what we can see on the surface. All that's at stake is what's right before us. All that's at stake is what we see in the moment. But I think that as you think about it, you begin to realize that in every temptation, there's always more at stake. There's always more at stake than what we see on the surface, than what we see in that moment of temptation. And there's a second observation I want you to get. And the second observation really goes back and is very closely tied to this marshmallow test that they did, where the kids really needed to trust, have confidence in the individuals who were potentially going to give them the reward. So the second observation is this. When it comes to temptation, in every single temptation, there is always an element of how much can I really trust God? Can I really trust God? How much confidence can I really have in my Heavenly Father? Does my Heavenly Father really love me as much as He says He does? Is He really as tuned in to my needs, to my desires, as I really need and really want Him to be? At the heart, at the core of every temptation, it doesn't really matter what it is, there's this element of, can I really trust God? That's just what's really behind it. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. It may be with food. It may be with money and relationships. It may be a habit in your life. Whatever the temptation is, there is always this element that's at play behind the scenes. We may not even realize it first, but there is always this element at play of how much can I really trust God in this situation. And when we don't make that connection, there's always a connection that's there to how much can I really trust God. When we don't get that connection, when we don't see it, it keeps us from gaining the traction that we need in order to get past that temptation in our life. So if we would slow down and we would begin to evaluate every temptation that we face through these two grids, through these two filters, I mean, it would make a huge difference in giving us the traction that we actually need to overcome temptation in our life. If every time that we are tempted, we would slow down and we would remind ourselves, you know, there's always more at stake than what I realize on the surface, than what it appears to be in the moment. And we would remind ourselves that in every temptation, there is always an element of, can I really trust God in this situation? Because when we begin to look at things from that vantage point, it gives us the traction that we need to overcome temptation in our life. Now, most of us have probably known individuals, maybe it's a friend of ours, who has really made some change in their life. They've overcome some temptation. And maybe they said, you know, the reason I was able to overcome this temptation was because of Jesus in my life. And we look at the change, and we look at you know, how different things are in their life a lot of times. And we may think, and you may have thought at times, man, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could be that good. But here's what has probably happened in their life. At some point in their life, they came to the realization, they gained a new perspective on life. They gained a new perspective on sin. They gained a new perspective on temptation. And they came to the point in their life where they learned that there is always more at stake when it comes to temptation and what we see, what we realize, what we think in the moment. And they came to the realization, they learned that there's always this element. Somewhere woven in, there's this element in the temptation of, am I going to trust God? How much confidence can I have in God? And so when we begin to approach our temptations from that framework and we begin to think in that direction, it gives us the traction that we need to overcome temptation. Now, I think that is worth getting up and showing up at church for over the next few weeks as we talk about that. So what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks is we're going to be looking actually at the temptations, these three temptations that Jesus faced at one point in his life. We're going to be going verse by verse through those temptations. And it's all found in Matthew chapter 3, so you can go ahead and start looking that up if you want. But this is just such a powerful, such a rich section of Scripture. And I would just say, if you're not in the habit, or you've kind of gotten out of the habit of really reading Scripture, of reading the Bible, this would be a great time to start. You know, we're getting back into routine, school's starting back up, and all that. So it would be a great time to get back into reading Scripture. And over the next few weeks, while we're in this series, you could just read this passage of Scripture over and over and over, and you could go gaining insight that will help you in dealing with the temptations that you face, the lure of temptation that you face in your life. And it could just be so helpful for you, because we all face temptation, right? And there's really nothing new about temptation. From the fruit in the Garden of Eden to the guy or the gal with a cute smile, or that slightly, illegitimate business deal, kind of shady business deal. I mean, temptation is always there. And it's always the same. We've all faced temptation in our lives. And a lot of times, as we've given in to temptation, a lot of us have wondered, why did I do that? Why did I give in to it? I mean, I didn't even want to give in to that temptation. And yet I find myself giving in to it. And a lot of times, after giving in to temptation, then we promise ourselves, I'm going to be stronger next time. Man, I'm just going to walk right past it. I'm going to ignore that. I am not caving in that area of temptation. And yet what seems to happen in so many of our lives so many times is that we just keep falling into the same poor choices over and over and over again. But as you begin to read this over the coming weeks, and as we talk about this over the coming weeks, you're going to get some clarity as to why it is that you do that. Why is it that you give in to these temptations that you don't even want to give into in your life? And so what we're going to do over the coming weeks is we're going to look at these temptations that Jesus faced. And as we look at these, we're going to get greater clarity on the driving force behind the temptations that we experience in our life. And as we get clarity on what that driving force is behind these temptations, what that's going to give us is it's going to give us the clarity and the traction that we need to be able to respond to the temptations that we struggle with, that some of us have been struggling with for so long in our lives. It's going to give us the traction to respond to those in the same way Jesus did, and to overcome those. So, if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 16. This is a passage of Scripture. This is a section right before Jesus steps into these temptations. So, the chapter right before that. So, we're going to begin in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Jesus was baptized. It's a decision that he made himself as an adult. And after he's baptized, as he comes up out of the water, look at what it says. At that moment, heaven was open. And he, talking about Jesus, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. In verse 14, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Now, this is kind of a mysterious moment that the New Testament talks about. God visually and audibly approves of what Jesus had just done, his baptism. He says, look what he says again. He says, God the Father says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. It's like he's clapping his hands in heaven, going, way to go, Son. Way to go. That is awesome. What you've done is great. And then it goes on in chapter 4. And what's the first word in chapter 4, verse 1? What's the first word? Then. Right after this, right after Jesus had been baptized, and God the Father says, way to go, way to go. I'm really proud of you. Way to go. I love what you did. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, had Jesus done anything wrong at that point? No. Was God the Father upset with him? No. He just said, way to go. I love you. I love what you just done. I'm so proud of you. And yet Jesus is being led into the desert to be tempted by the number one tempter, by like the tempter of tempters. And this is weird. If you're making this up, you wouldn't include this in the account. I mean, it's just too odd. And yet so many times, as we're tempted in our life, we are thinking, you know, if I were really a Christian, I wouldn't struggle with this. If I were really a Christian, I wouldn't have these kind of thoughts. I wouldn't think about this. I wouldn't be tempted by that. I wouldn't even give this a second thought. And we begin to question a lot of times whether we're even Christians or not. But it says here that Jesus was led, look at this, he was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. The Holy Spirit didn't tempt him. He didn't cause him to be tempted, but he led him there. So if Jesus was led to be tempted and he was tempted, then of course we're going to be tempted. I mean, if Jesus himself was tempted, we are certainly going to be tempted in our lives. And then it goes on in verse 2 of chapter 4, and it says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he, talking about Jesus, was hungry, and the tempter came to him. And we're going to pick right up there next week. Now, Jesus faced some of the same things that we face. I mean, he was hungry at times, talks about that here. At times, Scripture talks about him being exhausted. Scripture tells us very clear that Jesus was tempted like we are. So what we're going to get as we look at this account of the temptations, these three temptations that Jesus went through in the desert, what we're going to get is an inside, behind-the-scene look at how Jesus dealt with temptation. And in these three temptations that Jesus faces, we see what's behind all of our temptations. You see, every temptation we experience, however small, however big it may be, whether it's a dessert after meal or it's flirting with someone that we shouldn't be flirting with, every temptation that we experience in our life, whatever it is, can be linked to one of these three temptations of Jesus. And as we gain insight into what's going on in the background of our temptations, we'll get the traction that we need to break some habits. And we'll get the traction that we need to begin and start some new habits in our life. And think about it. Do you remember, maybe if you remember the movie The Wizard of Oz, when they finally make it to discover who the Wizard of Oz is, and they see behind the curtain who the Wizard of Oz is, and they realize it's not this big scary person, and all of a sudden they go, "You're not so powerful." And the same is true when it comes to our temptations. When you and I discover and get clarity on the truth about temptation, when we get clarity on what's behind the curtain when it comes to temptation, we're going to gain the leverage and we're going to gain the power that we need to overcome temptation in our life. You see, through Jesus and the power of God at work in our life, we have the ability. Some of us don't even realize, but we actually have the ability to say no to temptation and sin in our lives and to not live enslaved by these habits that tend to take us down over and over and over again in our lives. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at these three temptations. Let me just give you kind of an overview of what these temptations are today. And then we're going to look at them individually, one at a time, and dig in deeper in the coming weeks. Here's what you're going to find as you look at these temptations. First temptation is the temptation to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. That's what the first temptation Jesus faces is all about. The temptation to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. I think most of us can relate to that. We get to thinking about it. Number two, the second temptation is the temptation to try to use God to accomplish his own ends. And for us, it's just the same thing. It's a temptation to try to use God to accomplish our own ends, to try to impress people with who we are and what we have and what we've accomplished in life. And then the third temptation is the temptation to do the right thing at the wrong time or in the wrong way. See, what the third temptation is really all about is it's a temptation to cut corners. It may be the right thing to do, but we try to cut corners, and we try to do it in the wrong way. And what we're going to find as we explore our temptations is that they're all linked at the core. There is always, when it comes to our temptations, there is always more at stake than we realize, than we think in the moment. And they're all linked to, can I trust God? Can I really trust my Heavenly Father in this situation? I mean, just think about it. I mean, think about the temptations that we face. I mean, most of them, the truth, they don't even make sense. I think about this. I mean, you're against lying, right? And you were taught by your parents not to lie. And you don't believe it. You don't think people should lie. You don't want to lie in your own life. You don't want your kids to lie. You don't want somebody that you hire to be a liar. You don't want the government to lie to you. You don't want your boss to lie to you. You don't want your spouse to lie. I mean, you don't believe in lying. You don't want to lie. And yet, what do? We find ourselves lying at times. Think about it. What's up with that? And that didn't make sense. Why do we do that? And yet, as we begin to understand what's behind these temptations, when we begin to understand what's behind the curtain of these temptations, we're going to go gaining the insight that we need to overcome these things that we struggle with in our lives. You know, I've never met anyone who thought that being unfaithful to their spouse was a worthy goal to accomplish in life. That was an honorable value. You know, nobody I've ever known has said, you know, when I grow up, I want to have an affair on my spouse. When I grow up, I want to be unfaithful to the person that I marry to. I mean, that's just going to be so cool. You know, nobody says that. Nobody grows up with that mentality. I mean, we're all against that. None of us think that that's a healthy thing. You don't think that's a good thing. You don't want that for your marriage. You don't want there to be unfaithfulness in your marriage. You don't want your parents to be unfaithful to each other. You don't want your children, when they grow up, you don't want them to be unfaithful. You don't want to marry someone where that's an option. They're going into the marriage, you're going, oh, this is one of the options to be unfaithful in the marriage, to just have an adulterous relationship. I mean, none of us believe in that. And yet, in spite of the fact that we would all say that that is not a value we're pursuing, we don't believe it, we don't think it's right for anybody, but we would say, man, I've seen the effect that has on people's lives. In spite of that, there's some of you here probably right now who are considering that in this moment. You're considering being unfaithful to your spouse, or you've considered it in the past, or you've given into it. It doesn't make sense. We're against it. We don't believe in it. And yet somewhere along the line, we fall into it. We at least consider, I mean, what is that? Where does that come from? That's crazy. And there's some of you here, if you're here and you have an addictive behavior in your life, I mean, you could write a book on this. And you hate it. You hate what it's done to you, what it's done to your life. You hate what it's done to your relationships. You hate what it's done to your reputation. You hate what it's done to you financially. I mean, you hate every part of it, everything about it. And so many times we keep falling into it. In the moment, in the heat of the temptation, there are things that we either never really knew or understood or that we forgot. And our ignorance fuels our behavior. But buried in this account of the temptations of Jesus in this scripture are some things that are going to help us understand. And as we understand these things, they're going to help us go overcoming the temptations that we face in our lives. And one of the keys that we need to remember is that there is always more at stake than what we realize or what we think in the moment, what we see on the surface. You see, for Jesus, what was at stake was not surface stuff. When Jesus is tempted, what's at stake is really not the turning stones into bread. Or as we're going to see in a couple weeks, it's not him jumping off the highest part of the temple. That really wasn't it. What's at stake for Jesus was that if he gave in to temptation, he would sin. And if he sinned, he would not be sinless. And if he was not sinless, he could not be the sinless, pay the sacrifice for our sins as a sinless sacrifice. If he didn't pay the penalty for our sins as a sinless sacrifice, he could not be our Savior. You see, what was at stake was not just his future. What hung in the balance was not just his future, but what hung in the balance was all of our futures as well. You see, there was more at stake than initially meets the eye. And you could actually see on the surface. And the same is true for us. The same is true for you. The same is true for me. So we face a temptation, and a lot of times we think, you know, so what? So what? So what if I spend the night with her? So what if I stretch the truth a little bit? So what if I don't disclose everything? So what's at stake when we're tempted? What's really at stake? Well, there are at least three key things that are at stake. And we're going to look at these, and then we're going to come back. And as we get into looking at the temptations of Jesus individually in the coming weeks, we're going to see these playing out even more in the weeks to come. But let me give you these three things that are at stake, at least these three things that are at stake when you face temptation, when I face temptation in my life. Number one, what's at stake when we're tempted is our future. What's at stake each time that we are tempted, part of what's at stake is a piece of our future. And we see this in others, don't we? And that's why, as parents, we react so strongly. I mean, as parents, we know that there are no isolated decisions that our kids make. I mean, we know any decision you make, it sets you on a path and it leads somewhere. We see that. We see it in our friends. We see somebody wrestling with something in their life, are like, oh man, don't give in to that. Don't give in to that. Because if you do, man, you are going to be throwing away your future. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. But when it's us, for some reason, somehow, we just don't see it. And we even see it in the movies. You know, we'll be sitting there watching a movie, and internally, while we're watching the movie, something's going down, and we're thinking internally, we're going, don't do that, don't do that. We're telling the characters that internally, don't do that. Because if you do, it's going to mess up your life, it's going to mess up your relationship, and this is going to create all kinds of chaos all over the place. We see it even in movies. And some of you may remember back the Empire Strikes Back, the movie way back, you know, in the 80s. Remember Luke Skywalker has this big battle with Darth Vader. Remember Darth Vader? Darth Vader is so cool. Has he been, you know, kind of like this right here. This is just kind of a reminder for you. Isn't that awesome? Wow. So they have this moment where... This is so cool. Where Luke Skywalker has this big fight with Darth Vader. Darth Vader cuts off his arm, and Luke Skywalker discovers, he finds out that Darth Vader is his dad, which I'm just ruining all kinds of things if you've never seen all this stuff. But anyway, finds out he's his dad, and Darth Vader says, you know, he says to him, join me, and together we will rule the galaxy, father and son. It's the only way. And inside, I mean, if you're seeing this, you're going, no, it's not. No, it's not. There's a better way. You don't have to do that. And don't you think that your Heavenly Father, when you're facing a temptation, your Heavenly Father is watching you and seeing you and saying, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to ruin your future. It's going to mess up your future. And you know what our response to that would be? No, it won't. No way. It's the only way. And God is going, no, it's not the only way. It's not the only way. You head down that road, and it will mess up your future. What's at stake is your future. And we need to live with that realization. You see, if you're young, a lot of your future is still ahead of you, and you could ruin it. You could be ruined. If you're older, a lot of your legacy is ahead of you. You give in to temptation, and it could be ruined. But it's not just our future that's at stake. What's also at stake is our relationships. Number two, what's at stake when we're tempted is the future of those around us. What's at stake when we're tempted is hurting the people around us, hurting our family, hurting the people that we love, hurting the people that we work with, hurting the people that we care about. Hey, some of you, your whole childhood was ripped apart because of something that someone else did. Or some of you, your whole childhood was ripped apart by something your parents did. Dad ran around too much. Mom couldn't break the grip of that addiction on her life. And not only did their choices affect them, they also affected their kids. They affected their spouse. They affected their friends. They affected relatives. Not only, when we give in to temptation, not only does it affect our future, but it affects the future of the people that we love. It affects our relationships with them. See, that isolated moment didn't just affect them. It doesn't just affect us. But it affects the future of the people that you're in relationship. It affected the future of the people that they were in relationship, the people that they cared about. You see, even if you're single now and you don't have a family, we can make decisions now that will impact our family in the future. That's what's at stake when we face temptation in our lives. But not only does it affect our future, not only does it affect the future of those that we care about, those that we love. And number three, what's at stake when we're tempted is our faith. What's at stake is our confidence in God. See, when we give in to temptation and sin, we chip away at our relationship with God, because we're saying no to God. We're saying, no, God. No, God. Not your way, my way. Not your way. I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. Not your way, my way. And when we become distant from God, and when we fall into temptation, we behave ourselves away from God. It goes eroding our confidence in God. And for some of us, as we've kept giving into temptation gradually, it didn't happen overnight, but gradually as we kept giving into temptation, we reached the point where maybe we said, you know, I don't even know for sure that I believe in God anymore. You see, what happened was this. We gave into temptation. We gave into the lure of temptation. We said, oh, God, forgive me. And we gave into temptation again. And we said, oh, God, forgive me. We gave into temptation again. We said, God, forgive me. And then one day we gave into temptation. We said, oh, what's the big deal? I don't think it's that big of a deal. We gave into temptation again. We said, you know, the only reason I even think there's anything wrong with this is because of God, I don't even know if I believe in you anymore. And let's be honest, some of you, you're right here at this point in your life. The reason that most people, they stop believing in God or they start questioning God is not because they have some great intellectual light bulb moment that happens in their life. They go, oh, now that I have this new, great, amazing information, now I'm not going to believe in God anymore. So you know what happened? It's not probably what happened in your life either. What happens most of the time is we give in to temptation. And then because we don't want to feel guilty, we start making excuses and we go, oh, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And we begin to question God. There are temptations that dragged you away from God. Because, see, when I sin, it erodes my confidence in God. That's what it does. Erodes my confidence in Him. And so what I want to do is I want to teach you a statement today, a statement for you to be able to say verbally. And for the men, for the guys who are here, this is always something uncomfortable, you know, to actually say something out loud like this. And I get that. You know, I'm with you. If I were sitting there, I'd be the same way. But I so want you to be able to overcome the power of temptation on your life. And I want you to do this. I want you to do this. So here are these three statements that I want to teach you today. We're going to put them up here on the screen. Number one, And I want you to repeat this after me. Okay, so I'm going to say it, and then I want you to repeat it after. Temptation, you will not steal my future. Really? Okay, we'll do that one again. Temptation, you will not steal my future. Here's the second one. Temptation, you will not steal my family. And then the third one, temptation, you will not steal my faith. You see, we need to remind ourselves of what's at stake. Temptation, you will not steal my future. Temptation, you will not steal my family. Temptation, you will not steal my faith. And now what I want to do is I want to take it up a notch. What I want you to do is I want to turn to the person next to you and share your deepest, darkest secret temptation with them. Okay? So you can just turn. No. Woo, some of you are getting a little antsy there. Wow. No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want to know what that is. Here's what I do want you to do, though. I want you to just think. I want you to think for just a moment about the most recurring temptation that you have in your life. For just a moment. I just want you to get that in your mind. What is the most recurring temptation that you have in your life? It may be a person. It may be a habit. It may be something to do with money. It may be that you're always making excuses to meet up with that person at work, and you keep claiming that it's innocent, that there's no big deal there. But it's a temptation. It may be an area of your life that's just totally out of control. It may be an attitude. It may be a temper. You know, whatever it is, what is the most recurring temptation in your life at this point? And with that in mind, through that filter, I want you to repeat this. I want us to repeat this together and mean it. So with that in mind, here we go. Temptation. Here we go, together. Temptation, you will not steal my future. Temptation, you will not steal my family. Temptation, you will not steal my faith. One more time. Temptation, you will not steal my future. Temptation, you will not steal my family. Temptation, you will not steal my faith. That is so powerful. We're gonna finish up here in just a moment. But if we really got clarity on this, and we refused to downplay and minimize and trivialize what's at stake when we're tempted, because what is at stake when we're at tempted is always more than what's on the surface. Than what we see in the moment. You may not want to admit it. You may try to deceive yourselves into thinking that, oh, all that's at stake is just what's before me right now. But whether you like to admit it or not, what is actually at stake when you are tempted is your future. A piece of your future is at stake. What's at stake when you're tempted is not just your own life, but the future of your family, the future of the people around you, people that you care about. And what's at stake is your confidence in God. Are you really going to trust God in your life? As we get into this over the coming weeks, some of you in your life, you're going to experience the power of God in your life. You see, God doesn't just want us to experience heaven, but God also wants us to experience power or the lure of temptation in our life. He wants us to experience freedom in our lives. But the only way that we are going to overcome temptation, the only way that we are going to experience that freedom is as we begin to understand and internalize that there is more at stake than we realize or think in the moment, than what we see on the surface. There is more at stake. What's at stake is our future. What's at stake is our relationship with people around us and how it's going to affect their lives. And what's at stake, if we give in to this temptation, it's going to rob us. It's going to sabotage the joy of our relationship with God. But when we begin to experience this freedom from these things and we begin to overcome the temptations in our life, what's going to happen is that our trust and our confidence in God is just going to mushroom. And our own confidence and self-worth is going to flourish. And we're going to quit living our lives beating ourselves up because we blew it again and again and again. And instead, we're going to start feeling strong. And we're going to start feeling good about who we're becoming in Christ. But experiencing this freedom and overcoming the lure of temptation is only possible through what Jesus has done on our behalf. So we need Him in this equation. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that as we look at the life of Jesus and how He dealt with temptation over the coming weeks, my prayer is that we would gain clarity and gain the traction that we need to overcome the temptations that we're facing in our daily life. God, give us greater clarity of mind and insight to be able to see what's really at stake in the temptations that we're dealing with. Help us to see more clearly than everything that there is more at stake than what's on the surface. Help us to understand that what's at stake is our future. And what's at stake is the future of the people that we care about, our family. And what's at stake is enjoying the relationship that we have with You. Because when we give into temptation, it just erodes that trust and that confidence in You. And if you're going to experience that freedom and that strength that God offers to overcome temptation in your life, it all begins by turning to God and establishing a relationship with Him through what Jesus did. If you've never done that right where you are, you'd express that desire to God. You pray something like this: God, I am tired of giving in to the lure of temptation again and again and again in my life. So God, today I'm placing my faith, my trust in Jesus and what He did by dying for me on the cross. God, forgive me for giving in to temptation. God, I want to begin to live my life following Jesus, following the example of how He responded to temptation. Help me to see more clearly what's at stake. Lord, my prayer is that You would deepen our trust, our confidence in You. God, that we would lean into You to gain the clarity and the traction that we need to overcome temptation, some things that maybe some of us here have struggled with for years in our life. And God, in advance, I say thank You for what You're going to do in the lives of individuals here as they gain that traction, as they lean in and trust You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.